Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Orange Tapes. I'm your host, Nicole J, and I started this podcast because I saw the need to create a safe space for healthier and deeper conversations about faith, culture, and life. So if you're anything like me and you're tired of shallow combos and you want something real and relatable, then the Orange Tapes is the podcast for you. In this episode, I invited my girl. When I say my girl, I mean my girl. I invited my girl, Alamide, on this podcast, and we are talking about things that we dealt with when we were in our 20s that we kind of don't want to deal with anymore in our 30s, or mindsets that we had in our 20s that we kind of don't want to think anymore, or maybe even mindsets that we had in our 20s that we actually just need to reinforce in our 30s. I honestly did enjoy having Alamide on this podcast. And I'm really grateful for the opportunity to have guests that have so much wisdom and that just blow me away every single episode. So I enjoy this podcast and I truly enjoy that. Well, I truly pray that you guys enjoy this podcast episode as well. But before we peel back this topic, don't forget to follow, subscribe, rate this podcast, and leave a review. With that being said, let the OT begin. Welcome to the Orange Tapes. This is a place where we peel back the layers of faith, culture, and life. And I'm your host, Nicole J. In this episode, we're going to be talking about growth and what it looks like to us and how we've been growing over the past few years. And I want to welcome my guest, Olamide Iyanda. Hi.
Thanks for having me. I'm so happy to be here. I'm happy. I'm fulfilled.
Wait.
I didn't expect it.
Yeah, so we're happy to have you, Olamide. Can you tell the listeners who you are, a little bit about yourself, what you do, all that sort of stuff?
I'm Olamide Iyanda. I'm Nicole's friend, first and foremost. I am a podcaster, a social media manager, a blogger. Whenever I want to write, and a creative in entirety, basically. And that's it. I just do everything. Nicole done my podcast several times. She's like my stand-in podcast member. If I need somebody, I'm calling Nicole. So we've been talking on and off the air for years now.
Yeah. So I feel like Alamide is the one that really prepared me for being, starting the Orange Tapes, because I think I've been on her podcast and maybe one other person's podcast, but it was really her podcast that gave me the space to really talk on this sort of platform. So yeah, thank you for joining us, Alamide. So the topic for today is 30 and beyond. Mm-hmm. Is it growing up or growing into yourself? So like I said earlier, it's a conversation on growth. So I was thinking about Alamide as a guest, and I was just thinking about our similarities and what we could really talk about on this one of the first episodes. And it's the fact that we're both over 30 years old.
I know, it's hard to believe.
Because she was like, what? Pimperimpe.
I'm actually over 30.
Yeah, she over 30 or whatever.
I'll be 34 in 3 weeks.
Yeah. Okay. So Alamide, looking back at your 20s, what's something that you feel like you used to believe in, like when you were 20 years old, but now you kind of like don't really think that way anymore?
I think a lot of Christians, especially Christian women, we think that we are the exception to the rule. Like, because I'm saved, because I'm a child of God, I shouldn't experience certain things in life, or I'm entitled to certain things in life.
Oh, wow.
And I think I had that mindset in my 20s, like, life is good, life is kumbaya, everything is peachy because I'm a child of God. I don't got the trials and tribulations I'm facing aren't that, you know, major compared to other people facing. But then God was like, I reign on the righteous and the unrighteous, and I shine on the righteous and the unrighteous. Like, because you're my child, you're covered, but you're still going to face trials and tribulation and persecution, and you're going to experience it. Just because you're saved doesn't exempt you from experiencing certain things in life. I think I had that mindset, like, oh, kumbaya, my Lord, I'm in a Christian bubble, I'm protected. Then COVID happened, and tapes? Like, oh, we all experiencing this together. But it's the Lord that's keeping us and giving us peace.
Yeah.
That's one thing he does promise us.
That's good. Quick question. So why do you think, what factors do you think contributed to you having like a kumbaya mindset? I know you said Christian bubble, but like, can you dive deeper into that?
I always make a joke that there should be a fine print at the altar call. Like, just because you come to the altar does not mean your life is going to be peachy. Like, oh, all my troubles are gone. Like, you still have to walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. And I think when I came to the Lord at 21, it's like, oh, my life is good. But it's like, no, down the line, you're going to experience a death in the family or unemployment or even your health. You know, one of my friends, she got saved. A year later, she got lupus. You know, you wouldn't think that, but it's just like, just because you're saved does not exempt you from the trials of life. There's the sin in the world. And because of sin, there's poverty, there's death, there's hardship, there's curses. And we, as Christians, still experience these things. We're not exempt. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I feel like when I went to the altar call, I felt like my life is good. I'm a graduate. I'm going to land a six-figure job. I'm going to be married by 25. I'm going to have my firstborn a year later. Blah, blah. Wow. But it's like, no. Yeah.
Life doesn't work.
No,
like
life
that.
Does not work like because you say yes to Jesus. You say yes to Jesus and you're working your things that's in you out with him in your walk. But I feel like when I got saved, I didn't realize like I was in college. Like college compared to adulting is two different things.
Definitely.
You know, my biggest prayer point was a financial aid come through. Now it's Lord, keep me.
Yeah, legit.
Help me. I'm losing my mind.
Because what? Honestly, all of these spiritual battles, you don't know where the attack is coming from.
You know, like yeah. I feel like when you're in college, maybe because I was in college, you're in a bubble. You're not in the real world.
Right.
But when you're in the real world, dealing with unbelievers, dealing with people that are oppressed or don't know God, or people that do know God, that still God's still working in them. Mm-hmm. You too, like, have to still exemplify the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm like, okay, me leaving college, it opened my eyes.
Yeah. There's this one quote or line or whatever that I learned in my 20s that I didn't really implement as much, but I need to implement it more in my 30s. And it's that I don't have to agree with you to love you. And I feel like the kind of world that we live in, it's a very wicked one.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like we're very polarized and we feel like because this person looks like me, acts like me, thinks the same way I think, we can be friends. And because this person doesn't look like me, this person doesn't act like me, this person doesn't think like me, we cannot be friends. I cannot even associate myself with them. Or it could be like that drastic, or it could be, we could be close friends. And because I see a perspective differently than you, then that creates like a distance and a friendship. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's like just knowing that me loving you is absolutely fine. And me agreeing with you was never like the basis of my love for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I'm learning to just remind myself in my 30s that although I'm friends with this person, I may work with this person, I may go to church with this person, I may do life with this person, the basis of my relationship with this person isn't because I agree with them, but it's because I love them.
Mm-hmm.
So when it does come to an instance where I'm disagreeing with you, you're not my enemy per se. I just disagree with you. That's fine. That's what came to my mind when I thought about it.
Another thing that came to my mind is like, we got saved young.
Yeah.
We got saved very young.
Very young.
Like in college, people were still like living out their youthful lust, you know? Like we got saved. I got saved 2 weeks after turning 21, you know? And one thing I'm realizing, now that we're in our 30s, a lot of people that we were in community with or a community adjacent with are now coming to the Lord. It kind of reminds me of the prodigal son. Like there's the older brother who stayed with the father through thick and thin. And then the young prodigal son that, you know, took his money, left 5G, right. left and right, enjoyment, shayo, all that stuff, mm-hmm. had fun. They came back and was like, oh, Father, forgive me. I, you know, and his father was like, of course, let's throw a party for you. But for me, it was just like, there's some people that just came to the Lord, maybe in like last 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. And it's like, God, things that I've been believing you for, right. I'm still waiting. Mm-hmm. I'm still waiting. And this person, I've been walking with you in like, people are like, oh, you got saved in your 20s. Like, why would you do that? Mm. Persecuting you left and right, they come to the Lord.
Yeah.
And then God blesses them.
Right.
Like, what you're believing him for. Right. And it's like, I've been here for 10 plus years. Yeah. You know, it's not like I was here, then I went back and came back. No, I was here. Mm. And I'm still believing you for certain things. But I see you blessing people that smeared your name or mocked your people, you know. And, you know, lived out their youthful lives. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, not that I've enjoyed everything I want to enjoy. Let me come to the Lord.
Mm.
And then you're blessing with them. But I'm just, you know, God has not forgotten me.
Yeah.
I was telling myself. Like, and he's not, he doesn't make mistakes.
He doesn't make mistakes.
And the story that he's writing for me is intentional and deliberate. And I just have to have faith that he hasn't forgotten me. Mm. Like the older, like the father told the older brother, everything that I had always belonged to you. Mm. You always had access to it. It was never, you never deprived of it. So I'm telling myself, like, God has not deprived me of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Though it has not manifested in my life at the same rate as these people, the Lord still has in mind for me.
Right. Yeah. And you also saying that, it reminds me of purity culture and how before I used to think that God blesses us as a reward for something.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times where God just blesses us because he wants to bless us. And I remember seeing this one girl that got saved right after me. She got saved right after me. Next thing you know, we all graduated from college. And she's also younger than me. So we all graduate from college and she gets married and she has children, a whole family, all this sort of stuff. So I was like, why is it that like things are moving faster for this one, but like my own is like slowing down or whatever? And that's when I realized that my mindset was as a result of just purity culture, thinking that, oh, because I chose not to do certain things or because I chose not to talk to certain guys, God therefore owes me something at a certain time or whatever. But the truth is that everything that God gives us is out of his grace. And it's not necessarily like a reward per se, but more so he blesses because he's a good God type of thing.
Yeah. He's a good father.
Yeah. So, yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
So, moving on to us being in our 30s or whatever, I know that as years have gone on, it's easy to find your identity in certain things, or it's easy to allow other people to tell you who you are. So, like, maybe your 20s was just you figuring out, is this who I am or is this who people want me to be? So with that being said, are there any ways that you've let go of who you thought you should be and you've stepped into who you really are?
I think it's the opposite. I feel like in my 20s for me, or for some people, I feel like it's the year, it's the decade that people define who you are.
Oh, wow.
And then in your 30s, you're like, wow, I'm 30. I'm not old. I still feel young. Who am I? Because I compare the 20s to high school.
Mm.
Like, people put you in certain groups, certain personas upon you. Like, are you the jock? Are you the cheerleader? Are you the honor student? Are you the valedictorian? Are you the teacher's pet? Like, people do all that stuff for you. And then you get to college, you meet other people. Like, you leave your community, you leave your friend group, and you go to the community. You're like, wow. Do I really like care about sports, or do my friends think because I'm tall and muscular, I had to play this sport? Mm-hmm. Or do I really care about academics because studying is easy for me? Like, when you get to college, you are really experimenting with who you are. Mm-hmm. And that's how I think of 30s. I think my 30s, like, okay, I'm single. I have no child. I'm 30. I'm not old.
Mm-hmm.
But I still feel young.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who am I? Like, I feel like for me, I feel like I'm embracing who I am more now than I did in my 20s. I feel like my 20s, people put certain things on me. Oh, you dress well. So you hang out with those people because they dress well too. Mm. Oh, you're good with teaching and teaching the word. Okay, you be in that department, discipleship department.
Right.
But really you might want to be in the sinking department, the fire department. Like I feel like people see what you do in your 20s and define who you are. But your 20s, like, you don't have to be one thing. Mm. You can be the teacher.
Yeah.
You can be a good teacher of the word, but then also have a gift of playing the guitar.
Exactly.
Or you can be a really good teacher and be like, you know what? I really like taking photos. Mm. Like, you don't have to be in one capacity. You can do multiple things. I feel like in my 30s, like I said, I'm good at podcasting. I'm good at writing.
Yeah.
But then I also like breaking down the word. Like, I don't have to do one thing. I can literally use all my gifts. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like in my 30s, I'm really embracing that. Mm-hmm. And then my 30s, I think I just stuck to doing, like, streetwear. Like, oh, I have sneakers. I'm going to wear sneakers all the time. But then in my 30s, I'm like, oh, I'm wearing sneakers today.
Right.
But then at 6 p.m. tonight, I'm going to wear heels. Like, right. I don't have to.
You don't have to.
Life is too short to do one thing. Right. Come on now. So I think in my 30s, I'm just like, oh, you know, I'm experimenting. Like, oh, before I used to wear red lip all the time, red lip. But now I'm like, oh, I like brown lip.
Mm.
You know, like, just experimenting with who you are. Like, you don't, life is too short to be monolithic.
Yeah.
And God has given us so much gifts, so insight to just do one thing. Like, you always call me Google because I know everything. Like, I just know.
She's very resourceful.
Listen, I like knowing stuff. I like learning different things. I think in my 30s, I'm just allowing myself to act on it. Yeah. Like, if I want to watch a documentary about the wild chimpanzee in South Africa,
I'm going to do it. Right.
I don't have to watch all these influencers do makeup. I can do other things. Like, because people like label you, and you sometimes you just follow that label, but you are able to act on your expression. Another thing about me, I have ADHD. Mm-hmm. So my mind goes from here to there. And I allow myself, if I want to learn about if I anything comes up my mind, I will Google it. Like, I allow myself to do it because, like, life is too short to specialize in one thing.
Right.
So I think that's what I allow myself to do. Just embrace it.
Why do you think society tends to put people in a box?
I think we put people in a box because that's how we want to address them.
Mm.
If I put you in a box as a jock. Okay, no. If I put you in a box as a content creator, then I only have to address you as a content creator. I don't have to even come to you for, like, prayer or breaking down the word, because that's how I see you and how I'm going to use you in my life. Like, I think we put people in boxes to see how they fit our lives as opposed to how can we fit their lives. Because if I see you as a spiritual friend, I'm going to come to you for spiritual advice. But in my brain, I put you as the creative friend. So I'm only coming to you for creative advice.
So it's like a consumer mentality?
Yeah. Well, I could be wrong, but for example, I keep seeing all these TikToks recently. Mm. In 2025, stop asking people, what do you do for a living? Because that's how you address them. If I know you're a lawyer, I'm going to come to you as a lawyer. Like, oh, she's a lawyer. She's a grand madame. Like, she's not a smart girl. But if you say you're a janitor, I don't got to rate you. I don't got to give you the respect that a lawyer would get, because people want to treat you how they see you. Mm. So if I see you as a content creator or a cashier at Shoppers, I'm going to address you as that. But if you say, oh, I'm an anesthesiologist. Oh, me too. I have to give you respect. So I feel like we do that so we can know how to treat that person in regards to how we relate to them.
Right.
And not adjust ourselves to see them how God sees them.
Right.
That's how I'm seeing it.
No, I see that. And I think it's a challenge on us personally, or like just on human beings to not do that.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of rude.
Whether you are, like, I told my friend, the same Stephen in Acts that was cleaning tables is still the same son of the God that was telling Abraham, you're the father of many nations.
Wow.
Like, Stephen, he died his purpose. As they were stoning him, he was still preaching.
Yeah.
And he is still the son of the same God that told Abraham, you are as the sand is on the earth, is your descendants.
Right. Right.
And I feel like sometimes as human, you know, I think in James talked about favoritism. Yeah. Like, you treat the poor person like they're poor, and you rape the rich people like they're rich.
Right.
And everyone is seen the same way in the eyes of God. Sometimes I think we consciously, unconsciously do that. Like, we rape people off of what they're doing as of who they are.
Oh, that's God good. Calls them that. Yeah, I think it's a renewing of the mind, knowing that people are more than what they do. And we should also expand our mindsets to be able to receive people in different capacities. Like, although I see Olamide, or although I've known Olamide as maybe a podcaster, she's not just a podcaster.
I'm not old.
She also does many other things. And I think it's up to us and all you all that are listening as well to learn how to see people in different dimensions, because God has created us in different dimensions. And it's not a threat to anyone else. It's more so of an acceptance. Like, it shouldn't be a place where, oh, okay, I feel insecure now because this person knows how to do many things. Coat of many colors.
Literally.
Joseph, his brothers have seen him. He's being glorified. Now they want to kill him. It's not about that. It's not about that. It's more so about acknowledging that God has given this person many gifts and figuring out, okay, how can I assist this person or just encourage this person to continue to thrive in all those other gifts. When Olamide said lawyer, it's funny because that was what I was thinking about when it came to this question.
Hmm.
Well, a lot of times when people ask me, actually don't even like when people ask me what I do, because when I tell them my profession, I see like the change in their demeanor.
Mm-hmm.
And they now feel
big
like
madame, benzo lexo.
Yeah. And if you know me for real, you know I don't be caring about stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, I like nice things.
Of course.
Because I personally like nice things.
And who your mom is.
Because
who you were raised. It's just
I like nice things because I personally, I mean, like, why I wasn't born to. Well, I like nice things because I personally enjoy nice things, not because yeah. I want people to define me.
Yes.
By the nice things that I have or by the work that I do.
Yes.
I went to law school because I love people
mm-hmm.
and I want to help them.
Yeah.
I didn't go to law school because I want people to praise me.
The title, the accolade.
Give me the accolade. It makes me feel so uncomfortable.
Really?
It makes me so uncomfortable. Oh my gosh. Like, I feel like just hiding because I don't like stuff like that. So I remember when I first graduated from law school and then people would ask me what I do and I'll say, oh, I'm a lawyer. And I'll see like how their demeanor has changed. Their demeanor changes in response to what I said.
One thing I'm trying to stop doing this year is receiving people's projection.
Mm.
That's not my business. You want to change your tune. Mm. Means I'm going to remain Nicole. Like yeah. you said, because at the end of the day, I'm not your lawyer. I'm a lawyer,
uh-huh.
but I'm not your lawyer. So why are you changing your behavior towards me?
Exactly.
And then you're not, and for me, when I see that happen, I know what kind of person you are. Like, mm. I know that in my brain, like, okay, like for me, I do social media.
Mm.
What Nigerian is doing social media? Everyone's either in tech, health,
yeah.
lawyer, engineer, accountant. Why are you doing social media? Who sent you there?
Right.
But for me, I love that I do what I enjoy for a living. So I just don't, what's my business if you want to change? I'm not receiving your projection. Like, if you want to change,
That's so good.
I feel like as women, even as Black women,
yeah.
we are automatically at risk of being, but we're more prone to receive or to experience autoimmune disease because we harbor so much emotion.
Wow.
And this shit, I'm not taking anyone's anxiety, anger, frustration upon my head. If I say I'm a lawyer and you feel insecure and inadequate or you feel like you have to, you know, gas me up,
wow.
that's a you problem. It's not a me thing.
Oh,
like,
that's good.
Who begged you?
Please, this is where you just pause and you just clap because that deserves a round of applause.
Because who begged you? I said I'm a lawyer. And if you want, you can just say, I do my best and keep it moving.
Oh, alive.
What do you do for a living? I pay my bills and I keep it
legit.
Moving. Or I came to enjoy myself. Like, because why are you asking me that question? You're not chopping the money with me.
Right.
So, but I stop, like, because people, sometimes African parents, oh, you do social media? I'm like, yeah.
Mm.
In this day and age, you have to be on social. Like, that's what brands are doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah don't. Please, I beg.
That's good. I love that. That's a great advice. And this is why Olamide is in my life for
period.
Stuff like that. Period. So, yeah, with that being said, that's the one thing that I'm learning to let go of, people's projections. Because I would feel like the need to then just be who they would think I should be. And
I feel like your wisdom... it's really of God. It's a gift of God from you. So
Amen.
It's like you going to law school was literally God.
Mm.
Like, you know, the wisdom, like Nicole, we'll be talking and out of nowhere, it's like a switch happening. And it's like, is God talking? Because out of nowhere, she's like, yeah. And then da-da-da-da. It's like, and I just feel like that's just, The reason why you're not embracing it is because you know in your own ability that's God speaking through you and God moving through you. Like, that wisdom you have when it comes to, like, lost stuff is really a gift from God. And you're not embracing it because you're like, if you only knew my brain, it's really God that's moving through me that's allowing me to do this. So that's why you're not embracing it, because, like, if I wasn't saved, if I wasn't God's will, I wouldn't be doing this. It's literally God that's, I've seen you someone ask you a question, you'd be like, And then I'm like, oh, not the Holy Spirit, because ain't no way that wisdom came out of nowhere. It has to be from heaven. So that's why you're so not embracing it, because you know it's not in your ability. It's really God moving through you.
Thank you so much.
No problem.
Oh, that's encouraging or whatever. What are ways that you feel like your friendships have changed as you've moved into your 30s? And do you feel like you're gravitating towards different kinds of people or building different connections? Or are you still sticking with the same people that you've had in your life since you were 20? Is there any difference?
I think there's a difference. I think when I got saved, I was in college, like we mentioned. So I think...
Everyone was your friend.
Not even that.
Let me talk for myself.
No, everyone was my friend. But also it was more like we were all in the same...
Bubble
and also in the same area.
Yeah.
We all went to the same Bible study, same campus ministry. Our dorms weren't that far apart. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, I'm going to make friends with the Christian community that I have here, you know. But then once you remove the parameters of us being in the same geographic location, or us being in the same class, or us being in the same church, or fellowship, once you remove those parameters, you see who's intentional and who's not with you. Because everything was out of convenience. And which is not bad. You know, sometimes you make friends with the class, you're in English class. Once you graduate, you're not English anymore. What's your business with her? Like, so everything was out of convenience. But it served a purpose. And then it's like, from those people, only you and Monique and Esther are the only people that I can say that I keep up with.
Right, from college,
Like, and no shade to anybody else. They served a purpose.
Yeah.
When I see you, I greet you. How's life? What's going on with you? We catch up. But I'm not doing the same type of first I did when I was 21.
Right.
So that's one thing. And then also, like, what served me at 21 isn't serving me at 34.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, maybe at 21, my love language was acts of service. So if I had $2 in my account, you know, cost us, we don't have money like that. And Nicole bought me Chipotle. This is a friend in me. But now that I'm 34 and I'm some things just change. Like, sometimes I just need prayer.
Right.
Or I need wise counsel. Right. Like, and some people cannot provide that. Or I just need, you know, some things just change, and it's just determining what do you need in the season. And then, I mean, even me, like, everyone's my friend, like, you're saying, oh, let's be friends. Right. But it doesn't necessarily mean that. Right. Like, you can be cordial. You can be acquaintances. That's a word we don't use nowadays. You can be acquaintances. Should. But it doesn't mean that they have to be a close friend, which I'm learning. And even close friends, like, not everybody has to be a confidant.
Right.
Some people are good. They don't have to be a confidant.
They don't have to.
And then I think embracing... So I live in PG County. 99.999% everyone there is Black. Okay, I lied. Maybe 80% of everyone there is Black. Or a minority. Like, either you're part of the Black diaspora, or you're Hispanic, or you're Asian. Like, we have a Filipino, Chinese, Vietnamese community there.
You see, this is what I'm talking about. When I say, allow me to be knowing everything. Because, like, what is going on?
So I'm so used to being around minorities,
right?
Or first gen or immigrants,
right?
But now I work at Museum of the Bible. Everybody there is not a minority. I'm the only minority, you know. So it's like getting used to working with white people. And one thing about me, I'm gonna find one ally. One ally that, okay, she's invited to the cookout. And so it's just like embracing other people that I typically wouldn't see. I think I asked a coworker, I was like, if we weren't working together, with me and you still be friends? Like, if I met you randomly outside this job, would we be friends? And they said, yeah, of course. I vibe with you. You vibe with me. Of course we'll be friends. I was like, okay, cool. Because I didn't want to know if the work settings would add it.
Yeah.
But, and then also learning, like, you know, you can enjoy people.
Enjoy people.
And then go home.
Exactly.
I think sometimes I approach friendship like dating. Mm-hmm. Like, we're dating because I want to get married. Mm-hmm. This has to lead to courtship. Mm-hmm. As opposed to, like, I'm dating because I want to look cute, go with the mm-hmm. man, and go about my day. Not mm-hmm. that I'll say I'll do that, but sometimes friendship is like that. Mm-hmm. You go to brunch with some girls, you have fun, you giggle, take pictures, and then you go home, and you do it.
Quick question. So, why do you think that you once saw friendship as dating that will lead to marriage?
Kind of like any relationship has to have an end goal. Mm. Like, and the end goal is
something serious.
Like covenant, I guess. Yeah, something serious. It's like, we're dating, like, either you're dating to marry me or you're just wasting my time. Mm. And I feel like, I think I entered friendship with that. But sometimes you can do friendship with people just to experience life and glean from them and go home. They don't have to know your 13th reason.
They don't.
They don't even know to know that you cried before coming to brunch with them. They don't have to know.
They don't know.
They know you look cute. You're good people. You're good company. Good food, good company. Go home. Like, yeah. It doesn't have to be, oh my gosh, I'm so sad because mm-hmm. I didn't get the promotion. Like, I mean, that's not bad. You can share that if you want to, but you don't have to. If you're comfortable.
Yeah.
I think I went out with some friends and we're doing highs and lows. And then I shared a low. And I was like, I did not have to share that low with them.
Yeah.
And my other friend rebuked me like, no. I said, no, I don't. I have other lows. I think I'm
superficial. They rebuked you for not wanting to share the low.
I said, oh, I could have just lied. It's like, well, I said, I don't have to share that low. The low could have been like, oh, girl, I'm bored. Right. I need a new hobby. Mm. It has to be, oh my gosh, I'm experiencing a traumatic episode of my life right now.
Yeah.
Because everybody's like giving you feedback. And it's like, I didn't ask for your feedback.
Right.
I'm just sharing it to share. But and everybody feels like, oh, now I have to do mentor and wise counsel.
No.
I don't care about your grandma's peace cobbler. Keep it to yourself. So I could have just shared, oh, my low is, girl, my siblings are blowing me. Like, it has to be, and it could have been like, oh, girl, I'm tired of work. It could have been something. But I had like a traumatic thing, and it was just like everyone's giving their input and making you the guinea pig conversation.
Mm.
Please say that for your grandma. Like, yeah.
Honestly, it's a lesson.
Yeah.
You learn as you go.
With ADHD, you tend to overshare.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay.
I'm also unmedicated, so that's probably. So I have to like regulate myself and be like, I don't have to overshare with people.
No. Yeah, I definitely understand. And I'm happy like you've come to that realization. And I think it's healthy to know that every friendship has a different set of boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Different people have different levels of access mm-hmm. to you.
The outer courts, the inner courts, and the holy.
Thank you. Period. Like I feel like Jesus with his disciples mm-hmm. is a perfect picture of not everyone has to be that close to you. Although he had 12, he hung out mostly with about
three. On the Mount of Transfiguration, only three of them came with him.
Yeah, so it's like there's a reason why only three of them had that much access to him. And I think like even with friendships, it's important that we ask God for like discernment as to who exactly we need to be close to us and who really doesn't need to be that close to us.
Yeah.
Like what Olamide said at first, like there's some people you go to brunch with and they're just brunch friends. And it's fine if after that, you maybe talk to them again, maybe a month from now, because mm-hmm. they were never supposed to be your bestie. They were just supposed to be your brunch friend. So I think it's important that, I think it's good that you came to that realization that different people have different levels of access to you. And I think that I also came to that level of realization too. I think in college, everyone was my friend. Like, I mean, to be honest, I still kind of do this for real, but not as bad. But like, everyone was my friend, and I just love people. If we're having an event, my family has a lot of events. If I have an event, everyone is coming. If I'm talking to you in that season, you're invited or whatever. I love you, blah, blah, blah. We can be friends, blah, blah. But now I feel like growing up, I still have like that heart to invite everyone to everything because I just want people to experience what I experience. But at the same time, I feel like coming to my 30s, I realized that, it's okay if I'm not friends with the whole world anymore. It's okay if I've like cut my circle down to a few people because not everyone needs to have access to me and I don't need to have access to everyone. Mm-hmm. And I think the people that I do allow to have access to me, they are healthy for me and they're moving me in the direction that I want to be moved in. And one thing for me, one thing that's really important to me is that I feel accepted by my close friends. Not saying that there's a difference between accepting a person versus accepting what someone has done. So it's like, I'm not saying that if you're my close friend, you have to condone everything I do or think that I'm the most perfect person in the world and be a yes man, because that to me is not a friend. But what I'm saying is that even if I don't do the most perfect thing in the world, even if I do make a mistake, you are able to correct the mistake, but still love and accept me and make me feel safe in our friendship. So I think for me, what's most important is that the person that I've chosen to call my close friend is moving me in the direction that I want to go. And that's obviously forward in my life.
Amen.
And is also a safe place where I can be around, safe person that I can be around. And I don't have to perform for them, because performing is exhausting. Putting on a mask is exhausting. And there comes a point where it's like, it's not even worth it.
Yeah. It's also manipulation.
It is. Yeah. On this podcast, we've talked a lot about Christianity and Jesus. So what are ways you feel like you've seen or you've experienced God differently in your 20s versus in your 30s?
So in life, I feel like there's never a balance of everything. Either your social life is popping and then your career is slum. Like your finances might be up. Like I feel like in different areas on a scale of 1 to 10, it's never a 10 on in each area. Something is either lacking or something has either more. And I feel like in my 20s, you can attest to this, I might have been, I was probably solid out spiritually, but my career was like a -3.
Yeah.
Because I would have a job, lose a job. Have a job, like unemployment left and right, like, you know, like, and then I went from trying to pursue nursing and being a PA to pivoting to social media marketing. And even that took me like relinquishing the desire to be a nurse to the Lord, because I think I was just doing it for the money. Like I'm Nigerian. We'll always have a job in healthcare. The money's good.
Right.
You go to work, collect your money, go home,
right.
Repeat, you know, rinse and repeat. But then I had to like, it is what God is calling me to do. There's a line with the gifts that he's instilled with me. So that, even that. So it's like my career was -3 because I'm chasing something that doesn't belong to me.
Right.
God's will was not there. I'm doing it because my family wants me to do it. You know, because people expect me to do it. Like, I'm Nigerian. Nigerians are either lawyers, doctors, nurses, engineers, you know, like, We don't do marketing.
Right.
Who in your family has done marketing?
Right.
So who sent you there?
Right.
So once I started, you know, pursuing the Lord and what he wants of me, I started seeing the shift in my career. Like, wow. You know, but then also in my 20s, I served heavily in different departments for campus ministry. I didn't feel that urgency or that calling to do that in my 30s. I felt like God was telling me to be more diligent in my church.
And how are you? Let's pause there.
Okay.
How are you able to accept that change, like the change, the shift in what God was calling you to do, you serving heavily versus you serving heavily in campus ministry versus you serving heavily in church? Like, was there a challenge there or was it an easy transition?
It wasn't easy because I was doing both. You know, I was doing various things for my campus ministry while still being active in church, but one thing has to serve. Like, it was two masters. One thing will suffer. One time, I will be diligent on Saturday for campus ministry. But then my church is having an event, and I'm not showing face because I'm at my campus ministry. And it's just like, well, we expect all the youth to be here for this church event, and you didn't show up. And I didn't communicate because I was like, I already have prior arrangements. So it's just like it was like where the rubber hits the road type of thing. It's like, okay, I'm exhausted trying to do both. I only have capacity for one.
Right.
God, what are you saying? And I think I was reading the Bible and I was reading Genesis, and it was a story. It was the part where Abraham and Lot families kept on fighting. Like, their shepherds kept on fighting. It was like, listen, the land ain't big enough for both of us. You know? And then, you know, when Lot went his separate ways, Abraham said to him, even though you're leaving, you're still family. And that verse gave me peace. Like, even though we're going separate ways, you are still family. Right. Like, even if you leave this campus ministry, you are still family to them. It's not like you're leaving off of a fence. You're leaving because the Lord is calling you somewhere else. And even though I left the campus ministry, I still help out where I can for, like, the major conferences. But, and I still attend the programs here and there. But it's just like, you're no longer a student. You're now an adult. And there's a church that needs your gifts. God's calling you there. So I shift there. So that was, it was like, once I got tired of doing both, the Lord was able to meet me in my word during my quiet time. It was like, I'm calling you here, but you're still family.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. For me, I would say maybe it is, how do I even word this? I would say that my relationship with God has changed in terms of, like, the foundation of it, if that makes sense. I feel like when I was in my 20s, the foundation of my relationship with God was more so built on other people. It was more so built on everyone else but God, and that's an idol. And it's an idol because it was taking a place where God, that God wanted to take in my life. So I felt like the foundation of my Christianity was more so, how do I look in front of this person? And do I look Christian enough for this person? That type of stuff. And I feel like in my 30s, God is relaying that foundation. And he's showing me what it really looks like to love him and to serve him in a way that really glorifies him from the inside out. And it's like, if no one else was here in my private room, when I'm doing what I'm doing, do I still care to glorify God? Like, is God still the most important person versus other people? Is my Christianity about you, or is it about me? Is it about God?
Yeah.
That sort of stuff. So, yeah.
To go back to my point, I'm going to say in my 30s, I feel like my career is better. Like, I don't know. COVID may have been crazy for some people, but looking back, ever since COVID happened, the Lord has really reset my career. Because before Josh was letting me go, now it's me. I'm leaving. I don't like working here. I'm gone.
Period.
Don't beg me. I'm leaving. Period. Please stay. Don't beg me. I'm leaving. Before I'm like, please keep me. But now it's like, I don't want to work here. I'm leaving. The Lord has really done a number on my career, like, because I'm in His will for what He wants for me. But then other things are not, like, my career might be a 9.5 or 10, but then it's still like relationship is still negative 5. Lord, what's going on there? But it doesn't negate the fact that Lord is still doing something. You know, I don't see God still doing something. So it's just like in my 30s, I think my spiritual walk might have been, like, really strong. And it's still strong, but it's not my identity. Like, it's not... I feel like in my 20s, my Christianity was performative.
Very performative.
Because, like, I'm serving in various departments. I just felt the need to, like... I have to be my word, because how can I pray for somebody if I'm not reading my Bible?
Right.
Or I have to have quiet time, because how can I do deliverance if I don't have scripture to stand on? But now it's like, I ain't delivering anybody. I'm going to read my Bible because
I love Jesus.
I love, and I'm hungry for His word. Right. And I realize, like, for me, certain things that flow naturally only flow because I'm in alignment with Him. But if I'm not having quiet time or reading my word, I struggle to, like, sing sometimes. I struggle to be creative.
You struggle to just be yourself.
Yeah, because it's like, it's Him that gave me the gift.
Yeah.
Even though His gifts are without repentance, the anointing to do these things,
the oil
has to come from quiet time. So, or walking with Him or talking with Him. So for me, it's like, I'm doing it because I need you. Like, you are the bread of life. Right. Like, I cannot run on E. But before it was like, I'm about to minister. Let me have quiet time so I'm not a fool on stage.
Right.
Like, girl. But now my third is like, no, I am here because you are the living water. You know, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. That's really good. Thank you for sharing, Alami Day.
Of course.
So I know the title of this episode is 30s. Is it growing up or growing into yourself? Do you feel like you have like a clear answer to that? Or is it kind of both or one or the other?
I think spiritually, it's growing into yourself.
Mm.
Like God, before we were formed, he already had words written over us.
Right.
Even, since I want to fight parents, when you have a baby and someone is giving your baby prophetic words, why aren't you putting it in a journal? Right. Why aren't you writing those it down? Mine. Because things, I be seeing babies get prophetic words. Hmm. Their identity is being spoken to them by a pastor or a prophet.
Right.
And then they struggle for 18 years because they don't have anything written down like on January 3rd, we want to serve it. And a pastor says you will be a great singer ministering.
Right.
You don't know that because no one has repeated that word to you in 18 years. And then one day you pick up the mic, start singing. Oh, you can sing, girl. Join the choir.
I think it's actually on our, on our parents, generally speaking. Maybe they didn't know the value.
Because the Bible said when Jesus went missing for 3 days.
Yeah.
And then he said, I'm on my father's business. It said Mary took note.
Mary took note.
Even when the angel came to visit Mary, Mary took note.
Yeah.
She took note. Even Joseph.
Took note.
What all the dreams he was having, he took note of what the Lord was saying to him about Jesus.
Preaching.
Which is why they were able to like steward him to be who we're going to be in the future.
Preaching a word that's
but
in
I
my
feel
spirit.
Like
come on.
We, what's the question, again?
Oh my God. Is it growing up or growing into yourself?
I feel like spiritually we're growing into who God has called us. He has spoken a word when we were born, but we don't know because there's no record.
There's no record.
So we're trying to fight to get back to the root. And then with growing up, it's like adulting. Like you have to grow up. Almost, you can't do small things like you were doing before. Mm. Before, if I didn't show up, I didn't show up. But now to communicate, hey, Nicole, sorry. Yeah. I cannot make it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not feeling well.
Right. Or sometimes you don't even have to give the specific reason.
Just I'm not showing up.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I feel like as Christians, we can be great spiritually, but we can suck as people. Because like I prepare a girl's dinner. Like I bought the groceries, I bought gifts, I brought flour, I prepped everything. Just show up.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't show up and don't say anything. Mm-hmm. Me as a believer, I will be hurt.
Yeah,
and that can just bring animosity, sadness, all this stuff in me. And now I have to deal with that with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We could just simply said, Alami, I'm not showing up.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's growing up to be a better human, to show up as the light of the world, like show up as Christ would, be Christ-like, but then also growing into who God has called you to be. I think it's two things.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I don't even think I could have ended that or answered that as perfectly as Alameda did. Yeah, that was amazing. And honestly, I'm just going to end the episode there.
Okay.
Yeah. God bless you, Alameda. Thank you
and
so
God
much.
And God bless this podcast.
Amen.
And the host.
Period.
God and bless you that's listening too.
God bless the host. God bless. Okay. All right. So this is the end of the Orange Tapes podcast. Alameda, please tell them where to follow you.
You can follow me on Instagram or TikTok as Urban Disciple, one word. And my podcast is Magic Girl Talks. And my blog is urbandisciple.co, not .com because they're trying to charge money. Who has $24K for URL?
The M is not that serious.
It's not that serious. urbandisciple.co. And yes.
Yeah, and when it comes to the Orange Tapes, please do not forget to review the podcast, subscribe, follow us on Instagram, TikTok, or whatever at The Orange Tapes.
And share with your friends.
Share with your friends. And if you loved Alami as a guest, please let us know.
Let us know.
And if you don't let me know, she's still going to come back.
I'm coming back.
Period. Because this was a bomb episode. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks so much, you guys. Talk to you in the next episode. Bye.